Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick. And with me today, I have Julie Kutuzov, Portfolio Manager of the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Small Mid-Cap Core Strategy. Welcome, Julie.
Hello, Ben. Happy to be here.
Julie, the start of 2026 has not been for the faint of heart. We're continuing to see increased volatility on a daily basis, influenced by geopolitical risks, as well as AI and its potential long-term influence, while also seeing risk gauges like high yield spreads remaining at historically lower levels. Can you give your view of market performance in the first quarter and its impact on the strategy's relative performance?
Sure. Investors started the year with a great deal of optimism, driven by a more favorable macroeconomic environment and outlook. Interest rates had been coming down, lowering borrowing costs for both businesses and consumers. Earnings growth had remained strong and was expected to be helped further by proposed tax cuts. Consumer spending, the key driver of the U.S. economy, had proven surprisingly resilient. The job market had been cooling, and the tariff situation, albeit uncertain, had not significantly impacted the rate of inflation. Then came February 28th, when the U.S. and Israel launched a series of strikes in Iran. Oil prices surged, and supply chains for a variety of other vital commodities, like aluminum and urea that is used in fertilizers, were disrupted, driving up prices, raising the prospect of high inflation, and reducing the near-term probability of further interest rate cuts. The Russell 2500 benchmark ended the quarter up 2%, primarily driven by the energy sector that at the quarter end represented an over 5% weight in the index and was up over 38%. Other asset-heavy segments such as industrials and materials also posted high returns as investors looked for companies that would be harder for artificial intelligence to disrupt. The quarter was a challenging environment for us as investors in high-quality companies. We shy away from capital intensity and direct commodity exposure. As such, our exposure to the energy and materials sectors is typically limited. During the quarter, we did not have any energy or materials holdings. In addition, the information technology sector, representing a 15% weight in the Russell 2500 benchmark, performed strongly, benefiting from the continued broadening of the AI trade. While the majority of our companies are well positioned to benefit from advancements in artificial intelligence, we do not have any direct exposure to the AI ecosystem plays. We expect to underperform in this type of environment. While disappointed, we don't see this underperformance as a reflection of the portfolio's underlying earnings growth. We project growth of our companies over a full economic cycle and continue to believe that high-quality companies outperform over the long term.
Julie, can you discuss a few of the strategies holdings that were standout detractors and contributors to performance for the first quarter?
Service Titan, ticker TTAN, was our weakest performer this quarter. Other detractors were Thor Industries, ticker THO, LPL Financial Holdings, ticker LPLA, Universal Display Corporation, ticker OLED, and Hamilton Lane Incorporated, ticker HLNE. Service Titan is a leading provider of software to repair related trades businesses such as HVAC and plumbing services. Shares lagged, along with those of industry peers, driven by investor concerns over AI disruption of software businesses. We view Service Titan's position as defensible. The platform's thickness, combined with the economic resilience of the customer base, allows for high visibility, annuity-like subscription revenue stream. The company's applications are deeply embedded in users' daily workflows, from customer acquisition to job booking to technician visits to back office operations. This, combined with a modern cloud infrastructure, has positioned Service Titan to be a direct beneficiary of advanced AI capabilities, with the company's customers enjoying reduced labor costs. Teledyne Technologies, ticker TDY, was our highest stock contributor for the quarter. Teledyne is a leading manufacturer of high-technology products for industrial applications, serving a broad range of industries. Shares perform strongly, driven by a robust demand in the defense, space, and energy segments. Other top contributors were UL Solutions, ticker ULS, Nordson Corporation, ticker NDSN, BJ's Wholesale Club Holdings, ticker BJ, and Interactive Brokers Group, ticker IBKR.
Julie, can you talk about the impact of the invasion of Iran and the spike in oil prices on the strategy, both directly and indirectly?
Needless to say, much will depend on the duration and the outcome of the conflict, a big unknown. In terms of the direct impact, we are already seeing it with the lack of exposure to the energy sector hurting the strategy's performance in the first quarter. As it relates to the indirect broader impact, there are several aspects to consider. As I mentioned earlier, it wasn't just oil, as supply chains for a variety of other commodities have also been disrupted, raising the prospect of high inflation and reducing the near-term probability of Fed's rate cuts. Consumer spending, the key driver of the U.S. economy, already under pressure following a prolonged inflationary period, is facing a risk of a pullback on discretionary spending to offset high gasoline prices. There is an ongoing debate about how this oil shock may affect U.S. monetary and fiscal policy. Some argue that oil prices have a more limited impact on the U.S. economy than in the past due to a significant increase in domestic production. The greatest fear is that a prolonged conflict and increasing oil prices could lead to a period of stagflation. From a portfolio perspective, the impact would likely differ over time. In the near term, we would expect the portfolio to decline alongside the broader market and potentially lag due to our limited exposure to the energy sector. In addition, our companies tend to delay price increases due to uncertainty around the duration of cost pressures, resulting in a near-term margin lag. That said, equity markets are inherently forward-looking and tend to react quickly to changes in expectations. Recent market behavior illustrates this dynamic, with even modest signs of conflict de-escalation triggering equity rallies. Importantly, over the longer term, our high-quality businesses have historically demonstrated resilience during challenging economic times, including inflationary and high interest rate environments, due to their leading market positioning, strong pricing power, solid balance sheets, and low capital intensity.
Julie, can you discuss any holdings within the strategy where AI obsolescence fear has had an impact on performance and why you continue to hold them?
The AI threat and opportunity framework is certainly top of mind for us as we monitor existing and analyze potential portfolio names. While we do not see any AI-driven obsolescence risk for our current holdings, a number of our companies saw their share prices decline on AI disruption fears. I mentioned Service Titan, our lowest contributor for the quarter earlier. As I noted, we view the company's position as defensible, with its application deeply embedded in customers' daily operations. Bentley Systems, ticker BSY, is the leading provider of software for infrastructure markets. Management sees limited AI disruption risk, with the company's products highly entrenched in customer workflows and the mission-critical nature of infrastructure construction requiring highest level of precision. In addition, engineering data tends to be proprietary, not accessible for AI training. Most importantly, infrastructure engineering workflows are complex and have effectively standardized on Bentley's software and cloud ecosystem, making it hard to dislodge. Trimble, ticker TRMB, is a leading provider of advanced positioning modeling and data analytics technologies. Trimble's broad portfolio of hardware and software solutions are tightly integrated in customers' workflows that span the entire asset lifecycle from initial design to asset maintenance. With decades of experience, Trimble has acquired deep domain expertise, enabling the company to become a prominent technology vendor in the construction industry. Equifax, ticker EFX, is one of the three largest credit bureaus. The majority of the company's revenues are tied to data that is not publicly accessible given its regulated and contributory nature. The potential longer-term AI risk assumes that lenders can leverage AI tools to deploy sophisticated lending models utilizing internal and alternative datasets, thereby reducing their reliance on the credit bureaus. We view this risk as minimal, given regulatory constraints and scale of Equifax's proprietary income and employment verification dataset. LPL Financial, ticker LPLA, is a leading provider of services to independent financial advisors and financial institutions. LPL has built a robust servicing platform in the independent advisor space, allowing the company to work with an advisor in any manner they prefer. We believe this flexibility, coupled with a long-standing industry reputation and solid technology platform, makes LPL an ideal landing spot for advisors looking to leave large wirehouses. We see the AI threat as minimal, primarily due to the industry's highly regulated nature. SIA, ticker SAIA, is a leading provider of less-than-truckload, or LTL, trucking services. Shares declined in mid-February, along with those of transportation industry peers, driven by investor concerns over potential AI disruption. We believe that, as an LTL carrier, the company is protected by its physical assets. Unlike asset-light brokers, it owns terminals and trucks. At the same time, the company is not standing still, actively developing its internal artificial intelligence capabilities. Note that the shares have since recovered, with the company being among our top contributors for the first quarter.
Julie, would you say your strategy has greater exposure to companies implementing AI versus pure play hardware exposure? If so, why?
Yes, absolutely. The majority of our companies are incorporating AI in their products, and some have a portion of their revenues coming from the AI ecosystem, with their products being used in data centers, for example. But we do not currently have any holdings in that pure play AI hardware category. First of all, the AI ecosystem is inherently young, and while most established larger cap players exhibit solid profitability and free cash flow generation, the majority of these companies in the small mid-cap space are relatively nascent, many of them unprofitable. Secondly, as I mentioned, we shy away from capital intensity that is inherent in the build-out of AI capabilities, with revenue opportunities often lagging sizable capital investments. Put it simply, we are not willing to sacrifice our high-quality investment discipline chasing growth.
Julie, do you think quality companies who are incorporating AI into their business will be able to increase profitability greater than commodity companies in the future?
Absolutely. The majority of our companies are incorporating AI in their operations in some form. Some, particularly those in technology segments, tend to be farther ahead, and most are already seeing tangible benefits in terms of internal productivity enhancement and improved customer-facing capabilities. While AI represents a powerful efficiency tool for all players, it will be those companies with differentiated protectable business models that, unlike commodity businesses, will be able to leverage these efficiencies while preserving pricing power.
Julie, can you speak about the potential impact of weakness in the private equity and credit markets on the strategy, if any?
Sure. Weakness in the private credit and private equity markets often acts as a leading indicator for public equities, as these markets are more sensitive to liquidity and rising cost of capital. There is a growing concern that private credit has overextended loans to software companies, many of which are vulnerable to the AI disruption. One of our holdings did have its shares decline on these concerns. Hamilton Lane, ticker HLNE, is a leading provider of private markets investment solutions to institutional clients such as insurance companies, endowments, and pension funds. With private equity firms delaying exits, the company is not realizing some profits. At the same time, however, it is enjoying high private capital spreads due to increased risk and volatility. More importantly, this is exactly the time where we believe Hamilton Lane shines, proving its value add in helping the company's clients navigate this challenging investment landscape.
Julie, what types of changes were made in the portfolio and why?
If you're asking about structural changes, none. We continue to adhere to our high-quality investment philosophy and are constantly working on enhancing portfolio's quality, growth, and value characteristics through both new purchases and existing holdings. During the quarter, we executed a number of such trades, and some of this taking advantage of broader market dynamics discussed earlier.
Julie, lastly, can you describe where you see the benefits of holding this strategy versus a passive strategy over the medium term?
We believe that the benefits of an active strategy focused on highest quality companies are particularly evident today, driven by increased complexity, be it due to the rapid AI proliferation, growing geopolitical uncertainty, or a potentially higher for longer interest rate environment. In our view, managing risk at the company level by focusing on fundamentals, durable business models, self-funding ability, strong balance sheets, disciplined capital allocation is paramount today. We believe that our high-quality investment philosophy, in-depth fundamental research process, focused high-conviction portfolios, and active portfolio management are particularly relevant in this environment.
Julie, as always, thanks for taking the time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
Thanks, Ben.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.